Welcome to Cabot Coverage, the podcast where three sisters and a beloved family friend discuss the crime-solving adventures of mystery novelist Jessica Fletcher on Murder, She Wrote. I'm Susanna.
I'm Megan.
I'm Glynis.
And I'm Ashley.
And this week we're discussing A Death in Hong Kong, which is episode one from season 10 and originally aired on the 12th of September, 1993. Our writer for this episode is Lawrence Heath. He's written 10 episodes. The episodes he's written that we've covered are Murder in Milan, Murder in Tempo, Race to Death, and most recently, Death in Hawaii.
Okay, I was like, we did just talk about him, right?
Yeah, Larry's been a recent conversation starter. So, Death in Hong Kong sees Jessica visiting her friend Emma Soon Dunbar, played by France Nguyen, and she's a famous ceramic artist living in Hong Kong with her husband Brian Dunbar, played by Barry Ingham, who is the owner of a company called the House of Dunbar, which we believe is a fashion line, although they only ever talk about their ready-to-wear line. So Emma and Brian have a daughter called April Dunbar, played by Vivian Wu. She is an up-and-coming singer, and they're very supportive of her and love her. So the episode starts off kind of weird, where Jessica has just arrived and she's hanging out with her good pal, Emma, and they're catching up and they go to visit one of Emma's favorite Jane shops. And Emma is kidnapped outside of the shop and held for ransom. Jessica panics, calls Brian, who's in the middle of business negotiations with a guy called Kai Kwan, played by Soon Tek Oh, and his son, David Kwan, played by Dustin Nguyen. So they're trying to negotiate a merger for the House of Dunbar and whatever the Kwan's business is, which they don't really go into it too much. Also, there are Brian's sort of second in commands, Louise Walton, played by Terry Austin, and Mark Tower, played by James Sartorius. And they're sort of helping with the negotiations. Brian receives the information that his wife has gone missing, or has been kidnapped, I should say, weirdly, and tells Jessica to not call the police. But too late. Jessica called the police right away. So the police are already there. And she's like, I don't know what you want me to do, Brian, because they're already here. Because I guess the deal is in Hong Kong, which Jessica finds out when she meets Inspector McLaughlin, played by David Warner, that this is just standard practice where the wealthy in Hong Kong are kidnapped, held for ransom. The wealthy families give the ransom, and then they let go the kidnapped victims, and they normally only ask for stuff that they think that the family they're kidnapping from can easily get. So by the time Jessica gets back to the house, her ransom has been paid. She has returned. There's an assumption that the Kwans have done this to kind of push negotiations along, but Emma is adamant that it wouldn't be Kai Kwan. Now, we never learn of what her background is with this man or how she knows him, but we just know she does not believe him to be a criminal, even though she thinks he's a very, she uses a word, like not a strict businessman, but a vicious, something like, you know. Yeah. Anyways, happy to go for the jugular. Mm-hmm. Anyways, they're having a banquet for the 110th anniversary for the House of Dunbar. Everybody's there. The Kwans are there, even though negotiations are going badly. And Brian, unfortunately, is poisoned with cyanide at the banquet. They cannot figure out how he's done it. I guess I'll just skip ahead on a couple of these things. David and April are in a romantic relationship with Brian, which Brian does not approve of. He seems chill about it, but he's like, you sure you want to do this? Because this guy doesn't seem like he likes you very much. And
wasn't there something about the cyanide killing him quicker because he's allergic to almonds or something?
Oh, no, I must miss that. I know that it dissolved quickly because of the lime juice.
And the sugar.
Maybe just had the smell of almond.
She said she smelled almonds on his breath, which I think indicates cyanide. Yeah.
Jessica, eventually Emma is interrogated because it turns out there was a cyanide glaze or a cyanide paste in her studio. But what Jessica and the inspector figure out is that someone had made a sugar glaze, put it on the plate that the lime juice had been poured into. The lime juice, importantly, had been poured from the same pitcher to everybody's plate. Nobody else was poisoned. and it dissolved the sugar paste and released the cyanide so that David died. I mean, not David, Brian died. And Jessica figures out that it was Louise. So Louise had murdered Brian because she wanted to head up the organization of the House of Dunbar. And she thought if he sold it to Quan, she would lose out on that possibility. The kidnapping, however, was done by Mark Tower because he had gambling debts on Macau that he had to pay off. So he had kidnapped Emma and held her for ransom for $200. $200,000. Sorry, I should say $200. Easy money. So,
$200.
So, yeah, we can get into the detail, but this episode has two fun facts. The first is Hong Kong was a British colony. Vehicles drive on the left side of the road. Cars have steering wheels on the right. So that comes up in the episode, I guess, because we do see Emma driving her car. And the second fun fact was just around the changes to the opening credits with season 10. So she's on the computer rather than at the typewriter. She's all that kind of stuff.
I have a fun fact I learned, but I don't think they would have been in any scenes together, but France Nguyen and Vivian Wu, who plays her daughter, were both in the Joy Luck Club, but I don't know that they had scenes together because they would have been different timelines, but yeah. That was interesting.
Oh, that is cool.
Dustin Nguyen used to be on 21 Jump Street.
Well, we all know that.
Yeah, you're right. It's like, Megan.
Like, tell us something we don't know.
Yeah.
You're right.
You know, I don't know if I've ever seen an episode of the original show.
It's pretty good. I mean, I haven't in forever.
It. Yeah, but it's good. I don't know. The first couple of seasons are pretty good.
Yeah, and like, yeah, I remember liking it. But I also was like younger and thought, oh, wow, there's a lot of like hunks in this.
Yeah. A lot of hunks infiltrating teenage crime. Is that the...
Yeah.
Still the plot? Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, no, that's not changed. Yes, I have not rewatched as an adult, and that might make a big difference.
I got to look up the Joy Luck movie. It's been a long time since I've seen that. Sorry, yes. Okay, I was going to say the House of Dunbar. Sorry, no. A Death in Hong Kong. Thoughts?
Me and Megan's original thought, or first thought out the gate, was that friend function is low.
Rough time for poor old Emma.
Well, and I was laughing too that Jessica doesn't hear any of this commotion until the car squeals off. She's too busy like trying to buy that piece of jewelry.
Oh my god.
Right.
It takes her flipping ages. Ages to figure out that she's been kidnapped. Oh, also, sorry, another fun fact about the Joy Luck Club is that Tamlin Tamita, who I believe played the police officer in Death in Hawaii, is also in it as Waverly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I liked it. I think, for me, this is one of the more memorable murders because I think it's so creative. And then she's, like, rewinding the tape, going back and forth. And I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was, it was clever. And then just with the backdrop of like Hong Kong's political scene, which it seems very like, I don't know, probably topical at the time, but probably isn't as much like, you know, doesn't play as much of a part in our like, you know, the forefront of our mind now. But I think it was like a huge deal.
Yeah. And I think I'm with you, Ashley. First of all, I love when she travels and I love a travel log. I like when she goes to a city and we have a lot of B-roll of city of like, here's Hong Kong and here's where we're driving around and here's some car that presumably Jessica and Emma are meant to be in driving around Hong Kong.
It was all B-roll, but then I was laughing because the one part where they're going to the jewelry store, there's a building or a restaurant and it just says Hong Kong in big letters. That's how we know we're in Hong Kong.
That's always a little tough. It's like, how are they going to dress LA for like a foreign country? And you're like, tough.
I think it does a good job of making you feel like you're there, even yeah. if it's not like a well, it's like dressed us up pretty well.
I think one of the funniest moments was when, what is Barry Ingham's character's name? What's his name?
Brian.
When Brian is like telling Jessica not to call the cops, I'm like she would know how to handle a kidnapping in China. And then he just like goes and like sits back, I mean, in Hong Kong. And then he goes and sits back down in and like just quietly sits at his chair like nothing happened.
Well, this is the crazy part about this. And it's like, I don't know how prevalent any of this is now, but she keeps saying, oh, I'm just not used to your customs, as though this is like a sort of something to be, do you know what I mean? They really are like, this is fine. Emma's fine. She yeah. like walks back in. She is fresh as a daisy when she walks into that room and Emma sat on the couch and she's like, Jessica, like, no, so sorry about
she
this.
She like pops up, she's like, hey, Jessica. And then like, can we get you tea and sandwiches? she looked great.
So bizarre.
Like her hair wasn't even out of place. And they had wrapped a giant like bandage around her head so she couldn't see, or blindfold, I mean. I mean, to come back and her hair was still like so perfect.
Yeah, Jessica, so perfect. Like you're all acting like she's just been out for like a long walk.
Yeah.
I know, exactly. And but Emma's like that too. She goes up, she's like, I need to take a nap. And Jessica's like, yeah, I bet. And Emma's like acting like this is the third time this has happened this week. You know, like she's like, no big deal. But Brian, yeah, I mean, it's insane what Brian says to Jessica, because like, obviously Jessica doesn't know about any of this stuff. And her first reaction will be to just call her. Someone she just seen has just been pulled into a car she doesn't know at gunpoint. I mean, and he's like, oh, Jessica, you've really screwed this up.
Right, right.
And even Miss Inspector McLaughlin makes her feel bad. Oh. So they give her a hard time for reporting it. And you think, oh, well, the cops are like, well, you know, hardly anybody tells us about what's happening. So it's like helpful to know. But he's then like, so thanks for reporting it, I guess. And you're like, God, like, I thought you said she was helping you.
We'll talk about this more, but I just loved how messy and bitchy David Warner was, Inspector McLaughlin. Like he really ever toned it down.
No.
And
I found it attractive.
At an 11.
No, I was pretty into it.
I was interested. I was like, is he single? He's also very tall.
Like, I thought he would soften like a little bit towards the end. No.
Oh, he is one bitter Betty.
He's very cynical. And then he kept being like, Emma, we've known each other for a long time. Like, admit you killed your husband. It's like, Brian.
I mean, or maybe there's a little romance in the book.
You know, I thought there was, I know we're kind of bopping around, and I thought that romance was between Emma and Kai Kwan. I don't know how other.
At the end as well.
Yeah.
When she stood up for him and when he called about with his condolences after Brian had died, I sensed a real frisson there. And like when he's like going to be nicer to her than he's been to literally anybody else in the episode. And we're like, do these people know each other? Did they used to date? Like, what is the deal here?
I know. It did feel like they knew each other pretty well. And then at the very end, I was like, wait a second.
I know. Well, I was waiting for the line of someone saying, oh, they grew up together, or, you know, or they know each other from the old days or something like that.
Yeah.
Because we're like, how does she know that he didn't kidnap her? Like she's so sure of it, but.
Yeah. I just love how like, didn't in the same call he gave his condolences, he's like, and we're not moving forward with the merger.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, dang, business in Hong Kong, man, it's cutthroat.
But Ashley, she then went, I just need a couple more days. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
He's like, anything for you.
Right.
No, it is true. He calls to be like, sorry. Oh, and by the way, we're withdrawing our final offer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, no. And he's like, okay.
He's like, I'll call you later.
No, it was
He's like,
interesting.
no, you hang up. No, you hang up.
I'm like also obsessed. We could get into like a phone where it cut, because I know this isn't that, but I did say it was that basically every time Kai picked up the phone, David picked up another phone on the line. And I was like, wow, they really don't have singular calls. Like, David has to listen into every single phone call that this guy's on.
He told him to most of the time. Didn't he gesture for him to do that? Or
to under, to oversee?
Yeah.
I guess it makes sense that he doesn't have to repeat himself.
Yeah.
So they do that stuff on Real Housewives. They, you know, they put the phone on speaker so the person that the person calling who's talking poorly about could hear.
Yeah. It stresses me out so much when people put their phone on speaker when I'm in the room and they don't tell the person that I am there. And most of the time, this is innocuous. They're calling somebody, they're answering a phone call, and it's not needed for that person to know. But I'm like, I'm going to need you to tell them that I'm here because I don't want them to say something I shouldn't.
Yeah.
I shouldn't.
I'm always like, hey.
Oh, and me. And me. I'm here as well.
No, I always do that if I'm in the car and someone's calling, you know, because it comes straight through the car. I'm like, by the way, with Susanna.
I know you. You get that out so quickly.
Well,
listen in the car too.
I appreciate it though, because what you don't want, you don't need to know what that person might say about you or might. Sometimes it's like someone answers a phone call to like a partner, like it could be a coworker or something. You're like, you don't want that partner to be like, oh, the rash is back or something like that. And you're like, there's somebody else here. Please don't say anything.
No, That's like reveal too much.
No, yeah. I like a little mystery. So let's talk about, God, I took for this episode and the next episode, spoiler alert, I liked them both, and I took so many notes. I do love when Jessica travels. I think Hong Kong's a really fun destination. Love the banquet. I like the fact that he works in fashion.
Yeah, I had a question about the House of Dunbar. So I saw Emma wearing a ready-to-wear night suit. What did Jessica call it? Evening suit. She called it an evening suit. Which I thought was kind of smart. It was like a black skirt with like a gold lamé peplum button-up blazer thing. Were the fashions that Louise was wearing or April wearing also House of Dunbar? Because I wanted to get a sense of these ready-to-wear lines.
Ashley, you are a genius. Yeah. That is so funny because you're right.
Particularly Louise.
Repeatedly. Floral. Louise's repeated offensive, is it, in the fashion department?
Yeah.
I mean, yes.
It was pale green floral
when they're in the board.
Because I felt like, wait, sorry, what was the daughter's name?
April.
April.
I thought April's stuff, it felt dated, but
pretty
felt more
cute.
Like 90s centric. Louise's, I was like, what are we doing here?
I thought she looked like, they dressed her like, and they did her hair like she was a woman of a previous era who hadn't quite let go of the fashion of the time when she was 20, but she was like in her 30s. So he had this weird like aging effect on her that I thought, and listen, Ashley, it's a sweet burn because Emma Dunbar is, I think we can all agree, like a stunningly beautiful woman.
Yeah.
And then to put her up against this poor woman and dress her like garbage is cruel. Even in the evening suit that of all of Emma's outfits was probably my least favorite, but she was like, basically brushed her hair and looked better than I do most of the time. And it is like,
she was kidnapped that afternoon.
Yeah. And she'd only had a nap.
And she'd only had a nap.
No, it was, and then, because I looked at Louise's face, I was like, oh, she is pretty, but yeah. Woof, the outfits they put her in were really tough.
Do we think that Emma is maybe the luxury brand?
And then she said Lily she was wearing ready,
no, it was
to
the
wear.
Ready to wear. It was the ready to wear evening suit from the House of Dunbar collection.
I know, but you know how like sometimes they'll have like ready to wear that's like a smidge more expensive, and then ready to wear that's a bit lower brow.
Yeah, like there's Marc Jacobs, then there's Marc by Marc Jacobs, and then there's MJ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
All ready to wear, but different price points.
I did like that for some reason he was involved in the world of fashion, but that he wasn't a man that I think would strike anybody as a fashion mogul. But he's not the creative, I guess. He's just the business guy. He's just keeping the numbers.
He's just
coming
heir
in.
To the he's just an heir to the Dunbar fortune.
House of Dunbar. I mean, it is quite.
I mean, to have existed for like 100 years, that seems like
was
110.
It only fashion.
Imports,
right, maybe
exports.
It was other stuff. Yeah, I mean, they clearly were loaded, and
yeah,
and make it through the Great Depression. I mean,
yeah,
oh,
I
yeah.
Can't imagine that it was like all fashion, but I don't know.
Yeah, Hong Kong used to be quite the fashion, I think likely still is, but like a fashion kind of haven or like capital,
Yeah,
you know?
No, I feel like, yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I actually really like this episode. The merger scenes in the boardrooms, I was like, okay, these are boring.
They cut away from them. They were only, like my favorite bit about them is that we never learn what the terms are and what they have issues with. They know, Megan, they know. Lawrence knows that you're not interested in the negotiation. So as quickly as humanly possible, Jessica calls about the kidnapping. And then they say things like, these negotiations are over, you're not backing down, but we never learn what it is they're actually
and what
wanting.
Do like, I don't know.
We don't need to know. We don't need, that's information we don't need to enjoy the episode. All we know is they are at odds. And we're like, do we, like, we spend most of the episode because we like Emma. So by default, we like Brian. But we spend the whole episode going like, what's up with the Quans? Like, what's the Quans deal? Like, so when we find out April and David are dating, it's like, wait a minute, is this good news or bad news? Because
I thought he would turn out to be like shady or like, but he wasn't. He just...
No, it's fine. He liked her. That was about it. And he and his dad are so weird to Jessica when they meet her, and you're like, oh, maybe they are bad, but no.
We don't really get to know David very well, or his dad, frankly. And then we do learn that April wants to go into musical comedy.
Oh, yeah, that felt very specific.
I mean, the nightclub singing was, I like, was this meant to be high end? I actually don't know. That's a genuine question.
Like, what is musical comedy in the early 90s look like? Like, who is that?
Revival of Bye Bye Birdie?
Yeah. Yeah, I would think like revivals or something like that. Like musical theater.
It's going to be MAME on Broadway. I'm just kidding. I don't know. Glennis, I don't know. What's out in the 90s? Rent?
Mm-hmm. That's not a comedy.
Yeah, like...
Oh, you're right. It's just a musical.
Like, none of the things that you've said have like been like laugh riot things.
The only thing I can think of is like Bamalot, but I don't really know much about it. But no,
I think when it comes to musicals, comedy is a sort of default. Like, do I think like Bye Bye Birdie is funny? Do I
think Hello Dolly?
Hello Dolly. Do I think 42nd Street is funny? No, but it's certainly, I think, more in the comedy genre than drama. But
yeah,
she wants to tread the boards, you know? She wants to get out there and and Patti LuPone it up out on the main stage.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right, Glenn. It's like, what does that look like? But also the fact, like, this show makes me laugh so hard sometimes. So they go to watch their daughter in what looks to be a seedy nightclub. She's got her set on.
It's so red. The set is so red. Her dress is so red.
Oh, yeah, she's in the red dress.
Which just cheapens. There's something like about a red interior like that. Yeah. That's like a cocktail lounge that just makes it feel cheaper, like by default.
Yes.
So, and they're all like jamming to the tunes.
Yeah, they're
which
excited.
Is always a tough look. Yeah.
There's like 10 tables there.
Yeah. The song was pretty rough.
She sings a song that, as with all Murder, She Wrote songs, has no discernible hook. So it just
pretty girl
goes
from Kowloon.
Okay, I'm looking that up because I was like, is this
it's not,
a real song?
It's not a real song. No, because the credit, I looked it up because I wanted to find it on Spotify. I couldn't.
Yeah, it didn't give me the sense that it was a real song.
Yeah. No, you mean in that it had no tune and no chorus? Yeah, like yeah. That is like sort of a dead giveaway. It is equivalent, as with all original songs from Murder, She Wrote, to the theme song from Madame Blanc.
Honestly, I would take that theme song over this song. You disagree? Mm-hmm.
But you know where it goes, like from one place to another place to another place, but there's nothing to hang your hat on. So it's like the girl from Kowloon, and then it's like somewhere else. And you're like, is there a chorus in this? The same is true for Madame Blanc, where it's like, I was only passing through.
No,
and then it doesn't even end on a downbeat. It's a question. Like, is it over? No.
I mean, look, they're both not good.
It makes me feel like I could write songs. Like, I watch these things and I'm like, maybe I'm a songwriter. I do stuff like this all the time. Or I'm like bopping around my house going like, opening the fridge and cleaning up the dishes. Like, maybe that's a song.
Yeah, it's like Linda Belcher's songs from like Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
I used to make up songs like for Maxi that were like, usually they were the tune of another song. I was ripping off another song.
Yeah.
But there were some made up bops that I think would give theme song for Madame Blanc a run for its money.
Like, and I know I've said this before, and I'm sorry. Like, I don't mean to be so critical. The worst theme song. Like, and every time you watch it, it starts and you think, maybe this time it'll be better. And it never is. It never is.
Nope.
No, I was thinking about, there's another cross section of like loungy jazz music and fashion, like with that other episode that took, and because I was trying to think of other Murder, She Wrote scenes where the music was like a little bit better. And it was, forgive me, I forgot the actress's name, but she's the one that I think murders the fashion designer. I can't remember
what was her name?
Lou Waters was the name of that. But that was written by Donald Ross. So maybe he insisted on a proper song.
Like the song she sings at the end, you know, right before she's arrested. Mm. Is that right? Yeah. That, I thought that was a good song.
I thought she was singing. Didn't she sing Love Me?
Love and Rose. Oh.
I thought she, that's what I remember. But
actually, you're like,
so she was singing like an actual song. Got it.
Like hot take. I kind of like this little song.
And you're like the classic by Edith Piaf. Yeah. Got it.
You're like, I know nobody's ever said this, but that is actually not a bad song.
Yeah. But it is a weird cross-section of like jazzy nightclubs and fashion.
Actually, you're totally right. I hadn't, first of all, I did not remember that that was the business in this episode, was that it was fashion. But you're right, it's the fashion world cross-sected with ending up in some nightclub in the middle of some city where someone's singing one in Paris a good song, and in Hong Kong a song I don't know.
Well, it's weird to me that at one point in Murder, She Wrote, they would have been able to get the right to La Vie en Rose, and then later they're just writing their own. Maybe they demanded it that way.
They were like, they looked at that scene and they were like, she's gonna be singing for 20 seconds. There is no point in paying somebody for some sort of, they like looked at their like second AD and was like, Jeff, write a tune for me.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, Ashley, you're a genius. I had not clocked the connection. There is one other fashion episode. Yeah, but I can't remember that one.
I really remember that one pretty well. But it
is she back in France?
Yeah.
Because of the a la mode.
Yeah.
was that what gave it away? Well, I was trying to find a fashion episode to pair that one up with, and because we'd obviously already covered the more better known one, probably, which is A Fashionable Way to Die. But I wish I'd known this was it, because like I would have done it with this one. But
I know I don't think of this as being, because there's just a lot going on. Yeah, they have fashion, but then there's like mergers and, you know,
and banquets and.
And ceramics and cyanide.
Yeah, and ceramics and cyanide paste.
Oh my god, I love when, first of all, when we get to Burns, I mean, David Warner just really knocked it out of the park when he's like, oh, are you like your friend who paints plates? And she's like, she's the leading ceramic artist in the world.
I know, this is... Someone that's ostensibly supposed to be his like longtime sort of acquaintance is this woman right. that he just like rags on. They mm-hmm. also have, it's not just that she's, okay, first of all, she's a leading ceramic artist. She's married to a very wealthy guy. They're living it up in Hong Kong. Their daughter wants to be a singer. We know that Hong Kong gets torrential rain in the city, but not up in the mountains. And then also... She's writing a book that she records through a device in her car. I mean, there is so much business here. It is like, it's amazing they managed to keep all the plates spinning, because there is a lot of information that gets given out. Find out Mark and his gambling debts, Louise and her aspirations to like take over the company and to work with the French guy that nobody can work with. And it's like, there's like a line for each of these things. And yet I actually think it works pretty well.
I thought it was pretty seamless. I think sometimes there's like other shows that are just like packed to the gills with like plots and sidelines here. But I think the like few lines dropped in about each person was like, I thought it was totally, it wasn't overwhelming.
No, I agree. I don't know how they did that. As we're talking about it, I'm like, that was a lot of information.
Mm-hmm. There were so many businesses.
Wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Agree.
Okay, so we've got, we have a color balance test. We haven't talked about the banquet yet and the filming of the banquet. Color balance test was one of my favorite things. And they held up that board. Did you remember when they're showing the video of the banquet? And somebody says something like, oh, they're doing a color balance test. And they hold up a board with a bunch of different colors, I guess, to see if the filming is, they have to like, change how it's being filmed to match it. And I was like, this is fascinating.
Okay, interesting. I kind of don't remember that.
And then obviously we then follow it with like an enhance yeah, scene with the videotape, which is always good. So yeah. I'm gonna need you to slow it down right here.
Zoom in on that ceramic dish.
It's like, I know, which way is the warrior facing?
And then it was like, man, this is so complicated. Also, did they explain how Louise even got her hands on being able to do this all?
Like, where'd she get the cyanide? Oh,
yeah.
What did they say? The inspector said something kind of offhand about you could get anything in the black market here.
Okay. Yeah. So I was like, and then she knew how to like paint in the sugar.
Make it a paste.
I mean, Megan, any cookbook will tell you how to make a sugar paste. We know that.
You're right. I'm not known for my cooking.
It's just a simple sugar glaze that, like, once you add in extra liquid, it dissolves, obviously.
Yeah. Like, immediately. And enough so that him dipping the ginger in the lime juice was enough cyanide to, like, knock him dead within seconds.
And then, of course, I had to watch this episode twice. I had to watch them both twice, but this one I got really distracted trying to learn more about century eggs, or they're also 1,000-year eggs, and like where you could get one in San Francisco. There are a bunch of markets and stuff, and they don't always do them for 100 years now, but I'm very curious to try one.
Yeah,
and
it
the
looks
way that
fun.
Different cultures eat them, different like parts of China, and I think eat them differently is what I was reading in like Wikipedia. And so like the way that he was eating it was the, according to Wikipedia, the Cantonese way of eating a century egg with the ginger.
Which I think is accurate to Hong Kong. Do they not speak Cantonese?
Yeah.
And it's but that's so interesting that they did that, that someone looked into it and that they got the factoid right. Sometimes it's less reliable on murder. Murder, She Wrote should not be used as an encyclopedia.
For cultural accuracy.
I thought that was a cute little scene. It's a shame that he died immediately, but it's kind of sweet because she's actually like participating a little bit in the sort of some of the stuff that they would be looking at, apart from going to the jade shop and like getting ready to like annihilate that guy that owns it with her amazing haggling skills.
She's ready to go.
Emma, don't you worry. Emma,
you
this is not my first rodeo,
and I am
exactly. I'm busy. Okay,
they're gonna have to tear me away from this counter.
He's like, Emma, keep it down. I'm trying to haggle.
Yeah,
it's like, Emma, I'll be 2 minutes. God, she's always like this.
Yeah, that part was really wild because I looked away and looked back and like, oh my god, she's being kidnapped. And Jessica's just like looking at the bracelet or the necklace.
I know Jessica was like, I'm invested. I mean, it was the best jade in all of Hong Kong. That's what Emma said. But when the guy, so you know the ponytailed sunglass wearing thug that kidnaps Emma. When he thwacks, like, I guess it's the driver with the butt of his gun, I had to rewatch it because I thought he'd hit Emma. And not that it's better that it's not good that he hit anybody, but I was like, whoa, this just got really violent, like so right off the bat. But no, it was fine. It was the other guy. I mean, not fine. That guy was okay.
Yeah. Oh, the driver. Yeah, he got pretty black.
The driver got a few lines in this, which I feel like normally I can't.
The umbrella story.
And he had a very cool brush to clean the cars with.
No, he helped her crack the whole thing.
Yeah, he did.
It
the rain
rained at the one part, and
Victoria
then
Peak or something, I think, is where they lived. I'm assuming that's the rich part of town. I actually don't know. I haven't looked at it.
Yeah, no, I do enjoy this episode. I mean, I feel sad for Emma because she is, you know.
I think she's going to come out on top. She's going to be a party.
She has a new boyfriend.
Yeah,
I mean,
new
for
boyfriend,
real.
Booming business.
Grandchildren
on the way.
She's going to marry his dad.
Yeah, or David Warner.
I thought David Warner was for Jessica.
Yeah, yes, but Jessica doesn't live there, and I feel like he has a thing for Emma too.
Yeah, but he's pretty grumpy.
I think Kai Kwan seems like the better bet between
them. Just, I don't love the trope in movies or shows when it's like the younger couple gets together and then their parents get together.
Yeah, it's so weird.
It makes me uncomfy.
The episode did not, for the record, this episode never said that they were the dad and Emma were actually romantically involved, though the inspector makes the joke that it looks like it's going to be a double merger.
No, she says that.
Oh, she says that.
That's what she says at the end.
Yeah.
The business and then the romantic. It just looks very romantic.
But it could be a triple merger.
Okay, Jessica and the cop?
No.
Emma and
the business.
Kai.
Emma and Kai, the business and the daughter, the business.
Maybe quadruple, and then Jessica and the cop.
Wow.
Also, I was very distracted for the first part of the episode, being like, where do I know that guy about Mark Tower? And then I was like, wait a second, he's the ding dong husband from Tangled Web.
Which one?
I was like, I picture him in a sweater.
I barely am that. So the fact that you clocked that was pretty.
That episode's really traumatic. So
it's his greatest role. You're right. He looks like a man that wears a sweater, but not like just any kind of sweater, like definitely an itchy one.
Yes. I'm picturing like a gray green.
Yes. Itchy. Wiry kind of, yeah. I think there's a itchy sweater vibe to him, like totally.
Untreated wool.
Definitely.
I mean, this is too accurate. So, yes, I was like, okay, I'm supposed to be scared of this guy.
Well, and I like that he kept trying to be friendly with Louise, being like, see, like, we're in this together. And she's like, shut up. Like, every time she's like, I know you did this. She calls him a kidnapper, which is accurate, a murderer. She accuses him of setting the warehouse fires.
Yeah. I mean, and he did do some of that.
Yeah. Did he do the warehouse fires?
I don't know, actually. I feel like
that mystery remains unsolved.
Possibly, because her main thing was just to kill the people. I mean,
yeah.
Set the prices.
And he was, oh my God. She said something that I was like, what are we doing? She said, like, when she gets her advantage over the French guy, she's like, I do it by nailing him at the crack of dawn when he's still groggy and vulnerable. I was like, what?
Yeah. I wrote that down too.
What a line. What a line. Play the tape. Play the tape, Jessica. Play the tape. It's so dark.
She got so spooky.
Yeah, she did.
And then it's like, you know, in They Live, put the sunglasses on.
Wait, what's They Live?
Is it the John Carpenter movie where with Rowdy Roddy Piper and Keith David, where they're like construction guys and they figure out that if you put these sunglasses on, you can see aliens. And so that certain people are actually aliens. You can see the world as it really is because the aliens are like,
really?
It's really good. And there's this there's this really prolonged fight scene where Roddy Piper has figured out that if you put the sunglasses on, these special sunglasses, you see the aliens. And he's trying to get Keith David to put the sunglasses on. And he just keeps saying, put the sunglasses on, put on the sunglasses. And they get into a physical fight as he's trying to get him to put the sunglasses on. It's terrific. It's the movie where he says, I came here for two things, to chew bubble gum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubble gum. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, I'm also really, okay, I'm on the Wikipedia page. And the main woman in it is Ella Scotto from one of the earlier episodes.
Peabody slipped.
Yes,
here.
With the glasses, yeah. With the eyes, with the blue eyes, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I think she's like maybe a journalist or something. I can't remember, but they're like just like construction site. Like workers that happen to find out about this, and then if you put the glass on, you not only see the aliens, but you see signs that say like obey, and that like all these like advertisements are actually like, it's good, it's fun, it's funnier than that makes it sound like it's gonna
be. I think it sounds really interesting and good.
It's good. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, you should. I haven't seen it in a couple of years, but I remember really liking it the last time I watched. It's fun. John Carpenter. It's, you know, light on its feet.
I couldn't be more in.
Play the tape. Okay. Episode beats. Thunder weather? No.
Oh, there was a lot of rain.
Oh, yeah. God, no. I'm so sorry. That is wrong. You're right, Glynis. There's rain.
Like when they're in the police office and it's just like dumping it down outside. Like it literally looked like they were just spraying a window with hose.
I know. It's like it's she's driven all the way up and her car is still like dripping wet with rain. It's good. Secret Door's closet hiding. Jessica sure hides in that car in the car park. Jump scare.
Oh, she sure does. That's a good point. She's like, I'm getting her dictation to keep her company. He's like, I'm doing the same thing. What a coincidence.
I do love this show because the relationship Jessica has, these warm, like, friendships she has with people, and they say nothing to each other. So it's like they're such like bosom pals that they're in the car and she's like doing her dictation on the car. And she goes, right, Jessica. So then Jessica's like, you bet. And it's like, it's so fun. It's just that they have such a fun time, you know, these people. Poisoning, bludgeoning. Brian is poisoned with cyanide.
Like, imagine her coming back to Cabot Cove and Seth is like, how is Hong Kong? And she's like, whoa.
Kind of weird. Somebody died at a banquet and I investigated.
My friend got kidnapped like 30 minutes into being there.
Well, and April had been to Cabot Cove, right?
Like, yes. And I was like, what a trek.
The nonstop of Hong Kong to Cabot Cove.
To some jerkwater town.
Not a direct.
Right.
Yeah.
Not a jerkwater.
I mean, this girl's like Hong Kong rich and she's flying out to like Cabot Cove, Maine. Like, that must have been a bit of a shock. Phone wire cut, no, but as I said before, we have a lot of listening in on phone calls.
So much. Yeah.
So, I love it. Tire tech, we've got a ton. We've got a videotape. We've got a voice recorder. We've got one of those brick cell phones. We have a portable phone. I mean, it's like, you name it, we got it. I'm sure there's a few desktops in the mix that I've missed.
A few laptop computers.
I mean, she shaking, no. Bro code violation, no.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, Quan.
I think we've inserted that.
Yeah.
Shipping them a little bit.
Not as deliberate as some of the other ones where it's like, leave your boyfriend.
Right.
But also, like, he keeps saying things like, are you sure you want that man to be your father-in-law? I was like, what does Quan know about Dunbar? Like, it feels like we're supposed to trust Quan and that he has information. And he does actually, I forgot about this. He really helps Emma because he tells her that there's somebody that's trying to like betray her on the team.
Oh,
and he,
right.
he doesn't tell her who it is, but he tells her, he doesn't tell the husband. So, I mean, he is dead by that point, but whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
He doesn't know it's Louise. He thinks it's the other guy.
No, he knows it's Mark, but Mark's also betraying them because he's going to sell them out to the Quans.
He racked up too much debt in Macau, which I think would be a fun place to go.
I mean, I've watched a couple shows set in Hong Kong where they go to Macau, and I'm like, that sounds fun.
I know. I wonder.
Window peep, Jade Shop window peep. That sunglasses man looking in at Emma.
True.
Fake name ID, no. Drinking game, I said Dunbar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. The fustache cop quirk, we have Inspector McLaughlin. I said he was a bit of a dick and he's cynical.
Yeah.
Cop chemistry, though?
Yes, and I mean, I think he was more like bitchy funny.
Okay.
But I don't know. Not like, yeah, he was a jerk, but in a fun way.
He seemed funny. Yeah, he had a, like, there was a charm there.
He made me laugh out loud. I mean,
yeah.
Just because, no, usually people aren't that rude to her.
And you're right, he never pumped the brakes.
No,
ever.
Not once. Right, the whole episode, he's, like, burning her. He's like, hey, you need to get your back up. She's like, well, you did.
He's basically rolling his eyes every time he's speaking. Even when he's arresting Louise at the end, he's like, oh, God, I guess you were right, though. But still. Yeah. He's sick of it. Room Raiders, no. Businessy business merger. That was what I had.
Sure. Yeah, woo-hoo. Confusing business. Sorry, confusing business merger.
Very confusing. I Heart Hartley, no. Age ain't nothing but a number. Louise was 36 and Mark was 49. Inspector McLaughlin was 52. Brian Dunbar was 61. Emma Dunbar was 54. And Kai Kwan was 61. And then our young lovers, David Kwan was 31 and April Dunbar was 27. So actually, all of those are sort of...
Wait, how old was David?
31.
Okay, yeah, this all 27 and mom's 54. Yeah.
It all checks out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was surprised that Kai and Brian were the same age.
Care to elaborate?
Nope. Just like to say that. The Jonathan scale, no. These days, I mean, I said David and April because there was sort of a bit of a blocker there, but they're fine. They're dating. Like, she acted like her dad didn't know they were together. She smooches him. Her dad walks in. And then she's like, bye, David. And she, I was like, you've just left this guy to deal with your dad who doesn't like him after you've kissed him on the mouth.
Yeah.
Ugh. April. Petite feet, no. Glamour shots. I said the warrior on the plate.
Yeah, I didn't have any. I didn't have any other ones.
I didn't really have any either.
I don't think there was one, which is a shame. Smooches, April and David do smooch a couple of times. And Emma and Brian peck on the lips in a kiss Brian did not want to take part in. Because she goes in to smooch him and he kind of backed away a little bit. But she could, I think she connected a little bit. The bloody hands, we do watch him die. Which is rough, and that is filmed. And we rewatch that a couple of times, I'm sure, as they're enhancing. Family ties, this is an old friend from the UNESCO Arts Festival they were at. And a friend function, Megan, you felt, well, if we start high on love, high on money.
The one with the thought. But she was saying this in context as the car is driving away with Emma blindfolded in it.
Yeah, like she's like, things are great, and then she gets kidnapped and held for ransom, and then the merger might not happen.
But Glynis, we know she's fine because when we see her, like, but an hour later, she's cool as a cucumber.
It's just the immediate thing of like, everything's great, it's like, she got kidnapped.
You're right. Things took it was a roller coaster for Emma. And then when her husband died, that was like, she was really sad.
I know. Mm-hmm.
We don't normally see grief on Murder, She Wrote, because it's normally not a good guy that dies.
Yeah.
But you know what? I still think she and Kai, there was something there. So she's going to be okay. Not that she needs Kai to be okay. She's clearly a leading ceramic artist and she's writing a book and she's going to inherit all this money. So. She's going to be fine.
She's got all that cyanide.
She's got all that cyanide. She's okay. She's going to be fine. Eyes closed, head shake. We had a little one. Just a little baby one at the end. Okay. Fave outfit, worst outfit. Ashley, what do you think?
I liked Emma's all white pantsuit in the beginning.
Yep.
And I also like Jessica's navy blazer, white top, and orange stone necklace. I think also at the beginning. My worst outfit was Louise's red dress with the crystal decals on like either of her shoulders. And then I think there was a surprise one in the back.
That's not a surprise you want. No.
No. Not at all.
Right in the middle of the back. Great. Mm-hmm. Glynis, what about you?
I said Jessica's blue and floral dress with the pearls was pretty bad.
Yeah, I didn't like that one either.
No, and then
rare misstep, but yeah,
rare misstep.
It is. I mean, yeah, it was
pretty dowdy,
especially next to Emma wearing that like silvery kind of over the top the evening suit or whatever, you know.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's tough. Okay.
And then I liked the daughter's red sparkly dress. It was a little dated, but I liked it. I didn't love everything that Louise wore, but she had this purple high neck dress with gold buttons at the beginning that I didn't think
Okay. I didn't.
Okay. Megan's gonna come in with another opinion. Megan, fave outfit, worst outfit. I thought
the purple was the one of the worst.
Okay.
And then favorite, I really like this, like, kind of like a suit that Jessica's wearing in the beginning, but the bottom bit had it was black and white patterns on it, which I thought was really cute. And then, I mean, I loved Emma's haircut.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was a cute haircut.
I was
Yeah,
like,
that
I
is
want
good.
that bang and my haircut now.
She really could. Yeah, she had like a really cute bob.
Yeah.
I'm not far off at what anybody said. Worst outfit, Louise's hair.
Oh,
Best outfit was Emma's white suit. Because it looked like she wasn't. She probably was, but she looked like she wasn't wearing a top underneath it. And it had this sort of like jewelry along the blazer down that looked really cool. But Emma had a couple of outfits. There was another one that had like a scarf around it that I thought was really nice. And actually, David's outfit he wore to the banquet, where it had a collar. It was like this sort of a collar with a sort of like cut down the side. So it didn't have a tie. I don't know. It just looked cool. I have no idea. I don't know enough about fashion to describe what it looked like.
I don't
it
think
looked
that's, is
really
that a
cool.
Nehru collar? No, it was different. I think it was different than that. Yeah. But I
it
liked
could have
it. It looked
been.
great. Yeah.
He looked very, very handsome in it.
Yeah.
So, which is a nice segue to Biggest Hunk. Glynis, what do you think?
Emma.
Emma? Megan?
Emma.
Ashley?
David.
I also chose David.
Yeah.
He is.
He's a hunky.
He's so hunky. So. Yeah. JB Burns, Megan.
No, they're all Burns from. I don't even know his character's name. I just know him as David Warner.
Inspector McLaughlin.
Inspector McLaughlin.
Inspector. I love it.
Oh, and the kneeling at the crack of dawn. He accuses her of suffering from selective memory.
Yeah.
Then he gets mad and he's like, I didn't mean to get your back up. And she says, well, you certainly succeeded. It's like, don't come for me.
Are you sure you're not dealing with selective memory, Mrs. Fletcher? It's so bad.
Messy.
He even lets her help with the investigation and he's still like,
I
can't believe I'm letting
so
you help with
funny.
That.
Because he usually he doesn't want to deal with it. So he's like, fine, I'll let you help because I don't want to deal with it.
I mean, I liked him.
I loved him. I thought it was really funny because normally people don't, you know, it's like, oh, I don't know. It's a weird middle area because usually they're like, oh, you're so annoying. Get out of here. Or they're like, we love you so much. But he's like, I'm going to be mean to you, but you can help me.
Yeah, but I might invite you for dinner later. Like,
yeah, like we are probably going to be going on a trip together in the near future.
And you're going to love it. Okay, so Ashley, what about you, JB Burns?
I didn't have any.
Okay.
I didn't
That's
have
okay.
any. No.
That's okay. Glynis?
No, I just had that one.
Okay. I had two lines. One isn't a burn. I just liked it. Kai says, never take your eyes off a desperate man, David, which I actually think is very good advice.
That is good
so,
advice.
I thought that was a good line. And I don't know if this technically counts as a burn, but after Jessica tries the century egg, she goes, it's different.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't think she was a fan, per se.
No, well, she wasn't mad keen on the century egg, but she gave it a go.
Yeah.
It's just because she, you know what?
But
a nice character,
once.
She will. She likes to get involved in stuff, and she's not afraid to give a thing a bash. But anyways, fave guest star. Ashley.
Inspector McLaughlin. McLaughlin?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll guess who I pick.
Oh, guess who Megan picks? I think
Louise.
Is it Mark Tower?
No.
Is it Louise?
No.
Is
Is it
it
April?
Is it April? Is it Brian Dunbar?
It's Inspector McLaughlin.
Oh, I was going to guess the chauffeur next.
Yeah, me too. Okay. We have two David Warner fans. Glynis, what about you?
Add a third.
Okay, we got three. Now I feel silly for not picking him, but I picked Emma.
No, she's great.
I thought she was great.
I just liked his sickening burns, but I loved her, like, roll with the punches attitude, and she wasn't fussed by the kidnapping.
She was, which when the one lady goes, is looking at her as she's going up the stairs sadly after her husband's just died, she goes, brave lady. I'm like, she is a brave lady.
Yeah, they burn her. They're like, she couldn't be acting better if she planned it herself. It's like, guys.
Mark says that. Louise said doesn't subscribe to that kind of talk because she also knows she murdered Brian. Well, right. So she's like,
and she's like okay. Really super sad about it.
Yeah, I think
because
yeah.
She's a good actress, so she's like, okay, I'm gonna, you know, I'll do. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. That probably, but she was great. I mean, she's in so much of it. Glynis's guess. Who'd you guess, Glynis?
Louise.
Yeah.
She nice work. And then, what do we think Glynis gave A Death in Hong Kong?
Oh,
I'm gonna say 7.
I think 7's a good guess.
I'm gonna go 6.
Okay.
Glynis? Yeah, it was fine. I give it a 6.
Okay, 6 is okay.
Woo! All right.
It was fine.
It was fine. Wowee. That's how the New York Times reviewed Hamilton. It was fine.
I always think about there's a part in 30 Rock where Liz asks the blonde reception. She's like, oh, do I look okay? And she's like, that's exactly how you look.
Okay. Babe moment?
I mean, probably the kidnapping and the jade shop. It just was all so chaotic.
Okay. Okay. Ashley, what about you?
So I really like this episode because I love the clever murder, and then I love a JB gotcha moment with the tape. She's like, there's nothing on there to begin with, and you're like, and I felt like they kept all the characters' storylines like pretty tight. It wasn't like I felt like I was like confused. So I'm gonna give it a 9 out of 10. Mm-hmm. And then my fave moment is April singing Pretty Girl in from Kowloon, because that was unexpected and went on a lot longer than I thought. It went on for very long. And I was like, wow, they really leaned into this.
Oh my God, that's so funny that was your
favorite moment. I mean, I love it. It's unexpected.
It caught me off guard. And I was like, well, I'm not going to get mad at it. I appreciate the, you know, the interlude.
Oh God. Okay. Megan, what about you?
Well, now this is hard. I'm going to give it an 8. I do like this episode, and I did really enjoy when they got back. Jessica gets back to the house, and Emma's like after she's been kidnapped, and she's totally fine and like looks perfect. That I enjoyed that.
Okay, I like Ashley. I'm going to give this 1 a 9. I think it's really clippy. I think it's. There's lots going on, but it never feels overly burdened, and it's fun to be somewhere else. And I like the bit, she's like, you incriminated yourself, Louise. It's like, oh my God, Jessica, you got her again. I never said anything was on the tape. Oh my God. But I think my favorite moment was with the car ride with Emma, where they're just recording, just talking about her ceramics and the recording. I loved it. So yeah, does anybody have anything else they'd like to add about A Death in Hong Kong? All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And we hope you'll listen again next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.